And I want to open up with a couple scriptures. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 and 2 tells us that we are a people who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit for a reason, for obedience to Christ, to Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2:9 tells us you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. You know, I think of that, you know, we all have things in our home, we have things in our life, and many of us have one or two or three or a few things, sometimes just one, that's like a treasured possession. Something we really value, maybe we put it up on a shelf or maybe we lock it away, you know, but we're God's special possessions. That you may declare the praises of Him who called you. We've been talking about the fact that we've been called by God. He called us out of the darkness into His wonderful light. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, He has saved us and called us to a holy life. And because not because of anything we have done, but because of His own purpose and grace. God has called us because He has a purpose. And God has called us to walk in His great purpose, and within that purpose, within His purpose, each one of us have our own unique calling and purpose. And when God created us, He didn't do it haphazardly. He did it with a purpose in mind. And now it says that He's called us out of the darkness, out of this dark world, out of this world of hopelessness, emptiness, lack of purpose. He's called us out of that type of life and called us into His world, into His light, into His life, and to walk in His purpose and to walk in our purpose, our calling for Him. And as we begin to walk in God's purpose for our life, we find that our life has meaning. It has value. That we're not, as I said, an accident of nature, but we are the greatest of all God's creations on this planet. There's nothing higher that God has created than us, than humans. It says, in fact, that for a little while we are lower than the angels, but eventually we're going to be ruling them. We're God's greatest creations. We can't sell ourselves short. We don't belong, as I read in a bumper sticker the other day, we don't belong to the earth. The earth belongs to us. God has given us the earth to subdue it, to tame it, to be stewards of it, to take care of it. But Mother Earth is not a reality. It's Father God is the real reality. So now God is calling us to accomplish things. He's called us out of that world. He's called us out of a life of emptiness, lack of purpose, into His world, into His life. And He's called us to accomplish great things, to be world changers, as Bob and Eddie just finished talking about. And we serve a big God, and He has big plans for you. And He's working in your life through all the circumstances of your life to mold us, to mold you into something greater than you can imagine. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has already prepared in advance for us to do. That's Ephesians 2:11. We are still a work in progress. We're not done yet. None of us are done. God's plans for our lives are still unfolding. They're still blooming. They're still moving forward. And according to Philippians 1:6, we can be confident of this one thing, that He who began a good work in us, in you, will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. So God is working in you. He started a process in you. He created you for a purpose, with a purpose, to fit into His purpose, His plan. and he's still working in you, he's still building you, all that's going on in your life, the good and the bad, all those things are all coming together to work together to bring you to a place in your life where you are right now. So that God can use you where you are right now. So if we're going to accept God's call in our life, if we want to accept His plans for our life, and if we want to accomplish those things that He wants to accomplish and be able to walk in His blessings, because that's where we're going to truly be blessed, then there's a certain character trait that we need to embrace. And I know nobody likes to hear this word, but hopefully by the end of this message, which actually is going to go for 2 weeks, you'll be a lot more comfortable with this word. And the word is discipline. We all need discipline in our life. I know we love hearing that word, don't we? Discipline. It's not a word that usually brings fondness to us or sounds, you know, like a happy kind of word. The image of a disciplined life is some old stuffed shirt, somebody who's an old sourpuss who has no fun, who denies himself everything that's fun or pleasurable. But you know what? That has nothing whatsoever to do with discipline. Nothing. That is a great deception. It's a lie of Satan to get us to throw off all the restraints and do whatever we want, no matter what the consequences. That's why he wants us to hate that thought of discipline. He tells you that you deserve it, that you have rights, that you can handle it, that there won't be any bad consequences. He used the same lines, the same tactic, all the way back in the garden with Adam and Eve. Oh, surely you could do this. You won't die. You won't have any bad consequences. And because they listened to him, the whole world was plunged into sin and sickness and death. And when we live a life without discipline, we will fare no better in the natural and in the spiritual. This lie that discipline is no good is believed by way too many people, and even Christians. It is the undisciplined life that is full of chaos. It's full of problems. It's full of debt. It's full of bankruptcy in every way. It's filled with sickness and all kinds of out of control situations. This undisciplined lifestyle is always on the edge of disaster and will never reach its full potential or fulfill its purpose. When we see the reality of an undisciplined life, it's not a pretty picture. Do we really enjoy having our bodily appetites, our random wanton lusts controlling us and leading us around like we had a ring in our nose, pulling us this way, pulling us that way, not being able to control ourselves? I don't think anybody really wants to be like that. But see, that's where the undisciplined life will lead us. The Apostle Paul understood this very well. In Romans 7:15, he says, "I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but instead what I hate to do." Then in Romans 7:18, just a couple verses later, he says, "I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out." So see, we're not alone in this frustration when we find ourselves doing the very things we don't want to do. This is a natural human predicament that we find ourselves in. It happens because our sinful nature, our flesh, this self that we have to deal with, is very determined and will always try to get its own way. Always. We have to find out, the same as Paul did, that this struggle between discipline and being undisciplined, between being able to do as we're supposed to and doing what the flesh wants, is a life or death struggle, life and death struggle. And there's no way that we're ever going to win this battle on our own. Because on our own, we're talking about the flesh beating the flesh. And it ain't going to happen. But God Himself, who began this good work in you that I mentioned earlier, He can help us to understand the whole idea of discipline and also give us the ability to live a disciplined life. And again, a disciplined life does not mean a life with no fun, with no pleasure. You know, in the Bible it says that at God's right hand are pleasures forever, at His right hand forevermore. You know, God doesn't, He's not an old sourpuss who wants to take away all our fun. What He wants to take away is the disasters of our life. The disease, the perversion, the sickness, the evil, the sin, the death. That's what He wants to protect us from. And that's what the devil wants to drag us into. Most of us tend to think of discipline as punishment. As soon as we hear the word discipline, because we say, well, I'm going to discipline my kids. And we think of it as punishment. But that's not what it is. Discipline is not punishment. God looks at discipline in a totally different way. Hebrews 12:6 tells us that God disciplines those He loves. What God is doing is not punishment. He's training us so that we can avoid the real punishment, which is hell, which is death. His discipline is an act of love. What He's doing is He's training us. He's teaching us. He's correcting us. He's instructing us. He's guiding us into righteousness. The word discipline comes from the word, or is derived from the word, disciple. A disciple to a philosophy, a set of principles, a set of values, to a purpose, or to a person. And in our case, we are disciples or followers of a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. And if we become a disciple or a follower or a Christian, as we call ourselves, that means we're a disciple and we have to be disciplined to walk in that way of life, the life of Christ, the life of a Christian. And without discipline, we can't do that, because it's discipline that brings us in from the perimeter, from the edges, from the way out, and brings us in and to begin, so we can begin to walk in line and walk in the way. In fact, you know, they used to call the early Christian church, they used to call them the way, because they followed the way of Christ. They followed the way of God's Word. They followed the way that He would want us to live. And that's what we need to do. And discipline is basically like a boundary. It's basically like a way to hold us, to keep us from going way out of the way. It's the sign that says one way. Hebrews 12:10 says that God disciplines us for our good in order that we may share in His holiness. God disciplines us for our good so that we can share in His holiness. The goal of godly discipline, whether it's God's discipline, whether it's parental discipline, whether it's church discipline, whether it's self-discipline, is to make us more like Christ, so we can share in that holiness and fulfill the purpose for which we were created. That's what discipline is all about. It's not punishment. It's teaching us how to walk in the way so that we don't get blasted, so that we don't get destroyed. Discipline moves us from point A to point B. It brings us from flesh to spirit. It brings us from carnal to spiritual. It brings us from darkness to light. It brings us from emptiness to fulfillment, from chaos to peace.
I want discipline. Brings us from death to life. God will discipline us to a certain point, but what he's looking for is us to begin to take up the ball. Pick up the ball and start disciplining ourselves with the help of his Holy Spirit. We need to be responsive to the leading of God's Spirit. God doesn't want us to have to be controlled from the outside. He doesn't want to make us into a bunch of puppets. Would you want to force your kids to love you? You're going to love me no matter what I, you know. I mean, what kind of love is that? Would you imagine, you know, beating your wife or beating up your husband? You're going to love me no matter what. That doesn't work too well, does it? That reminds me of the story of the little kid who was real rebellious in his class, and his teacher told everybody to sit down, and this one kid wouldn't sit down. And he wouldn't sit down, he wouldn't sit down. Finally, she forced him to sit down, and he looked up at her and he said, "I may be sitting down, but in my mind, I'm still standing up." God doesn't want to force us to love him. He wants us to willingly submit to him from our heart. That's his whole goal, is to draw us unto himself and for us then to respond to his love. We love him because he first loved us. So he loves us. He calls us out of that darkness, a place where there was no hope, and brings us into his light, shows us how much he loves us, and now he's just waiting for us to respond and to begin to walk in the way that he created us to walk, in the purpose for which he created us to walk. And to do that, we need to have discipline. He wants us to master our appetites, master our passions, our sinful nature through the power of the Holy Spirit as we lay our self, this self, at his feet. Galatians 5:24 says, "Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." Doesn't sound like a whole lot of fun. I'm going to crucify my flesh this week. What are you doing? But the truth is, even though it may not sound like fun, in the long run, we find out that it's the best life. And of course, then there are the eternal rewards that go with that too. Why is that discipline so important? Proverbs 25:28, "Like a city whose walls are broken down is a person who lacks self-control." A city whose walls are broken down. Remember, they're talking back in those days when kings went out raiding cities. Bands of roving people were raiding cities. Warring tribes were raiding cities. And so the cities, to protect themselves, built walls around themselves. Walls around their city. So that, you know, the invaders couldn't get in. We were out visiting my brother-in-law and sister-in-law in Arizona. They have a cement brick wall all the way around their property because there's these wild pigs out there in the desert in Arizona. They got this big tooth, looks like a tusk, coming up, and I guess they're fairly dangerous. And so they have this wall built around their house so that these pigs don't get in. It also keeps out some of the scorpions and rattlesnakes and all the other stuff that they had. When we were there, they were killing snakes and scorpions, and we went out there with a black light looking for them and stuff, found a couple, and great place to live, you know. They live on the last house of the last street in a subdivision that has about 15 houses out in the middle of nowhere. Right past their home is desert. And you know what? If we don't have any control in our life, any discipline, it's like that wall. The wall that they have, the wall that those cities had, is torn down and they're wide open to any kinds of trouble, disaster, destruction. Self-control or discipline is a wall of protection against our sinful nature. It's a wall of protection against the attacks of Satan, the deceptions of Satan, the illusions of Satan, and it's a wall of protection against the influence of this world. Things that can harm us or destroy us. When that wall of discipline is broken down, we are liable to do anything. Any human being is capable of doing terrible, awful things to other people under the right conditions, right circumstances. If there's no inner rudder or self-control or discipline, you never know what you're going to do. The Lord said to Cain in Genesis 4:7, if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door and it desires to have you. You must master it. So he's telling him, you got to get disciplined. You got to master tendencies towards sin. You got to master these temptations. You got to master these things that are trying to destroy you. But Cain, he didn't listen. He didn't control himself, and he went off and he ended up killing his brother. And then he was condemned for the rest of his life to be a restless wanderer roaming the earth. His wall of defense, his self-discipline had broken down, and he was mastered by the sin and did something as awful as killing his own brother. And he paid a severe penalty for it. Now, we don't think, how many people in here think that they would maybe kill their brother, kill their mother, their child, kill their neighbor? We don't think we would ever do that. And yet, you know what? If we have no discipline in our life, there's no knowing what we might do. How far could you possibly go down with no self-discipline? What kind of horrible thoughts have entered into your head at different times in your life when you were upset, when you were mad? We've all had thoughts that we push them aside. Yeah, sure, I'm going to do that. And the devil likes to throw those thoughts in there. Now, I'm not saying they're even your thoughts, but they're thoughts that come into your mind of doing terrible things. Sometimes even at church, a thought comes in. And it's like, it just comes from nowhere. And you know what? If there was no discipline, no control whatsoever in our life, we might find ourselves doing those kind of things. Once that wall is broken down, it won't be just that one thing then that was eating at us that breaks through and comes in. Just like invaders that realize the city is defenseless, all of a sudden they come rushing in and plundering the city and using its resources for their pleasure, for their needs. And the more we allow our passions to have free rein, the stronger they become. Until they ultimately destroy us and destroy other people in the process. We see it all the time. We're always reading about people, especially it seems like in high places, who've been caught doing all kinds of things. And their lives are destroyed because they couldn't control themselves. They couldn't discipline themselves. But see, maybe they didn't have what we have. We've got a God who will give us what we need. We need to have this We need to have this protection. We need to have this discipline in our life, because if we start to let that discipline slip away, something can happen. Pretty soon it begins to contaminate other areas in our life that we thought were under control. When we let one area start to go, all of a sudden this area starts to go. And then after those areas are starting to go, then we let this. And then we see somebody's life, and we've all seen it. We've seen people who were at one time seemingly doing well, and then all of a sudden they're off the board. They're out of control. They've seemed it was like they lost it. What happened to them? Why would they choose to go that way? That's a life that's without discipline. Self-discipline prevents us also from hurting other people. Proverbs 14:17 says, a quick-tempered man does foolish things, or a quick-tempered woman. Sometimes when we let our temper, that heat rise up, and we don't learn how to control it, we do things, we say things that we shouldn't have done. How many times have we done or said something that we regretted later? It's too late then. It's like that foot and mouth disease. Once it's done, it's done. There's no putting it back. It's bad enough that we hurt other people when we get angry, when we let our emotions rule us, and we lose control, but there's something else that happens too then. According to Ephesians 4:26 and 27, it warns us there that this is one of the ways that the devil then gets a foothold in our life. When we let that emotion get us and we get out of control, it's like the devil says, oh, a crack, look it, there's a way to get in. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around looking like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. We don't need to be opening any more doors to let the devil in and have influence in our life. We need to keep those walls up, strong, protected, to keep the devil out, to keep our flesh from having control, to keep the world's influence from dominating us. Another area that we need to be disciplined in is our prayer life. 1 Peter 4:7 says, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. We all know how hard it is to get and stay focused in our prayer life. Not only do we have to deal with everything on the outside, but then we got all this stuff that's floating around inside of our head, and it seems like it all comes to the head or to the front when, as soon as we try to pray, doesn't it? It takes discipline to start to pray, but then it takes even more discipline to press in and to get beyond the superficial and to get beyond all the competing thoughts, to get beyond all the phones ringing and the kids crying and all the other stuff that's going on, so that we can touch the heart of God. Sometimes it can be real work to break through. But then as we discipline ourselves, it becomes easier. It's tough. I know it's tough. Don't think anybody else or everybody else has it easy and you got it hard. It's not easy for anybody to maintain that level of intensity with God, you know, that we want. But it can be done. We live in a society that has an endless variety of just about everything. Entertainment, all kinds of toys, places to go, things to do, things to watch, and on and on and on. There's just all kinds of stuff to divert our attention, to distract us, to take us away. And we need self-control because there's so much out there that's screaming for our attention. It's like when you go to the carnival and you're walking down that middle aisle and all those guys are yelling at you. Oh, come on, right over here, you know. Come on, $2, $1, whatever, you know. And if they catch your eye, Sometimes it's like, oh, okay, I'll do it, you know. 1 Corinthians 6:12, Paul says, everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but I will not be mastered by anything. See, there's the problem. We can't let those things master us. Many of those things can be excellent in themselves. There's no problem with hardly any of that stuff. As long as it doesn't become our boss. As long as it doesn't control us. But what happens is they become then a constant drain upon the things that God is calling us to do. The things that He really wants us to do. So that's what we have to watch out. Good things that get in the way of the best. We can't let the good become the enemy of the best, of what God wants. If we lack self-control, those good things can take up so much of our time that they begin to master us. And then we never have the time to learn, to study, to work at, to become what God has called us to be. So many unfulfilled, unblossomed, unfinished Christians that God wants to use. Still, sometimes in the larva, sometimes in the early stages, where sometimes these things come in and they short circuit us, where God is wanting to bring us out to this place of fulfillment where we can cause maximum harm to the enemy's camp and maximum good to the kingdom for the kingdom of God. And also receive maximum enjoyment and pleasure and fulfillment and blessing ourselves. And sometimes, though, we get stuck at all these different levels of growth because we don't have the discipline to press in. We need to have godly balance in our life. That's why we need to be led by the Holy Spirit in what we do. What happens when we can't control ourselves? 2 Peter 2:19b tells us people are slaves to whatever has mastered them. We become enslaved again. Do you remember that Jesus came? He said, I came to set the captives free. I came to give sight to the blind. I came to, you know, let the crippled walk. He came to release us from the bondage of sin, from the bondages of the world. And if we let these things master us, we can become enslaved again. People are slaves to whatever has mastered them. Something makes this body of ours move. Something makes it act the way it does. Something is motivating us to do what we do, to live the way we live, to behave the way we behave. What is it? Is it God? Is it His plan and purpose for our life? Or is it all these other things that have no real value? If we haven't mastered ourselves through the power of the Holy Spirit, then what has mastered us? That's what we need to ask ourselves. What drives us? What motivates us? What controls us? What makes us get up in the morning? What makes us do what we do? Why do we think this way? Why do we act this way? Why do we go here? Why do we do that? What's making us live the way we live? And however it is, what we need to do is bring it to get back to the way. Be a people of the way, living our life for Christ, seeking first His kingdom. Always doing the will of God, trying to, you know, show the world, in fact, how to live for Christ as we live our lives for Christ ourselves. Next week, I'm going to come back and look at some of the discipline destroyers, the things that destroy the discipline in us and that can sneak into our life and cause those walls of protection to break down. And I also want to look at how we can get a handle on this self and see what we need to do so that we can grow in self-discipline. And the Bible talks about us growing in discipline. That's something that we need to be growing in. Self-control and discipline. So I hope today that you begin to see the importance of discipline in your life and see that discipline is not punishment. It's not there to destroy us. It's not there to beat us down. It's there to protect us. It's there to guide us into the best life possible. That's what discipline is all about. Discipline will build us up and cause us to grow into the amazing person that God created us to be. And none of us are there yet. None of us are there. Discipline will guide us along a path of blessing, a path of peace and joy and love and fulfillment and victory. It's discipline that will bring us safely home to God. Without discipline or self-control, none of these things can happen. If I could have the prayer team come forward. Maybe you're thinking about your life and you're thinking, man, I know I need more self-control. I know I need more discipline in my life. Sometimes we need a touch from God. Sometimes it's a matter of disciplining ourselves to admit it. Dealing with ourself and admitting that we need to get it together, that we need to take another step. And wherever we are, we can always, we can't bite off the whole thing at once. We're not going to be able to go from point A to point B just like that. It takes time. It takes work. It takes time to grow in this disciplined lifestyle. And so if you're looking to progress in that, or if you have any other need whatsoever, if you want some prayer, then I just encourage you to come on forward. God wants to bless us. I know He does. And there's a way to walk in that blessing. He calls it, it was called, in fact, like I said, the way. And if we want to walk in that way, we have to stay out of the other ways and get in His way. And that's the disciplined life. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank You, Lord. We thank You so much for Your Word, Your truth, Your life, Your discipline. We thank You that Your Holy Spirit is there to help us and to guide us, to lead us, to teach us, to comfort us. We thank You that You have made it possible for us to even know how to live our life the right way. We thank You that You created us for a special purpose, that You made us in Your image. We thank You for all that You've done for us. And Lord, we pray that our lives would be a blessing to You, Lord God. And Lord, I pray also that Your anointing would be upon the prayer team, that as anybody comes up to receive prayer, Lord, just that Your anointing would flow through them and that we would be touched today, and that all that would hear this message would just receive an anointing of discipline or self-control in their life to be able to walk in the way of God, to walk in His blessing. We thank You, Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, Father. Amen.